thriving in times of chaos. This message is dedicated to all the mothers. I studied business at, is it Augusta? What's it called now? Augusta University? And there was a book that we needed to read at that time. It's called In Search of Excellence by Tom Peters. And then he also wrote another book called Thriving on Chaos. He wrote that in 87, and then he did a revised version in I think, in 2006. And that book was a message on how America's corporations can thrive in turbulent economic and political seasons. And he recommended a revolution in both management practices and organizational structures. And our teacher said this was an essential book, a tool for corporate survival. So I tweaked that title today, Thriving on Chaos, because it kind of sounds like you're making the chaos happen. And I don't want to bring more chaos in your life or anybody else's life. But thriving in times of chaos, that God has that for us. I don't know, maybe you didn't know it. I've been gone the last couple Sundays. I was in St. Louis for pastoral care training. And there were 240 people in attendance, 130 different churches, 25 different denominations or networks were represented. And as I was there and had a chance to meet a lot of people and talk to a lot of people, I sensed some angst concerning the state of affairs in the world, in this nation, and in the church. It's kind of a general undercurrent that the church is not partaking in the victory that Jesus won for us at Calvary. Things are changing. I mean, I don't know if you noticed, things are changing all around us. We're living in a day of mega change. And many people, and hopefully not you and anybody in this church, are not doing well with change. Peter Drucker wrote this: every few hundred years throughout Western history, a sharp transformation has occurred. In a matter of decades, society altogether rearranges itself, its worldview, its basic values, its social and political structures, its arts, its key institutions. 50 years later, a new world exists, and the people born into that world cannot even imagine the world in which their grandparents lived or their own parents in the generation that they were born. I think we're living in such a time of mega change. Does everybody witness with that? I mean, you look at the world and all this happening. And so at the conference, I got the impression that the North American church is not doing well. Everybody there was from North America. I think it was like 34 states represented, not doing well. And I can give you all the stats and statistics, and I won't do that, but that will back that up, that the church in North America is not doing well on the decline overall. Now, there are some denominations growing and some churches that are growing, but a lot are not. And I think that has to do with the times of mega change. Now, how are you doing with it all? Are you thriving? Moving forward? Maintaining? How many people have their head in the sand? Hopes it'll all go away. Some, I think, are numb. Kind of just like, I don't want to know anything. Others are stuck. Others are going backwards. Well, I believe that God wants us to move forward. I believe He wants us to thrive. I believe He wants to flourish. And I feel like this is a perfect opportunity for the church in a time of chaos, in a time of great change. And so when I was in St. Louis, I was reminded of a time of great change in the early church. And you know, going back to the book of Acts, let's look at Acts chapter 1, starting in verse 1. In my first book, I told you, Theophilus, about everything Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken up into heaven after giving his chosen apostles further instructions through the Holy Spirit. During the 40 days after he suffered and died, he appeared to the apostles from time to time and provided to them and proved to them in many ways that he was actually alive. And he talked to them about the kingdom of God. Once when he was eating with them, he commanded them, "Do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift he promised. As I told you before, John baptized with water, but in just a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." Verse 6. And when the apostles were with Jesus, they kept asking him, "Lord, has the time come for you to free Israel and restore our kingdom?" He replied, "The Father alone has the authority to set those dates and times, and they are not for you to know. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, through Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." After this saying, he was taken up into a cloud while they were watching, and they could no longer see him. And as they strained to see him rising into heaven, two white-robed men suddenly stood among them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why are you standing here staring into heaven? Jesus has already been taken from you into heaven, but someday he will return from heaven in the same way you saw him go." So the disciples are gathered, others are gathered there, and they see Jesus ascend into heaven. And have you ever thought about what they might be feeling? Are you in touch with your feelings? A lot of men, you know, are not. Like when I'm dealing with Susie sometimes, and she's asking how I'm feeling, and like she seems to know what she's feeling, and I have a hard time. What am I feeling? I don't really know. I have to think about it or dig a little deeper to find what's really happening. But here's some of the things they could have been feeling. Sad. Lonely. I mean, they've been with Jesus for 3.5 years. Close fellowship. The things he taught them and all the different things they went through and trials and tribulations. And uncomfortable. Fearful. Well, we know they were afraid by their behavior. Peter goes back to fishing and other things happen. I mean, they're afraid, bewildered, in shock, confused. Anybody feeling any of these? I don't know. Weak, vulnerable, inadequate. Probably missed some. But there was a lot of feelings in that group, in that crowd that was there. And so they're kind of just staring up at heaven. And I get a kind of a picture of they're kind of stunned. Like Jesus is gone, and they're just like, you know, I don't know if you ever feel that way, just kind of like, what do we do now? Kind of stunned, in shock. Don't know what to do or where to go. And two angels came, and it says they said this at the same time, so they're in unison trying to get this message across, but basically what they said is, what are you doing staring in heaven? Get moving. Don't just stand here and stare. Get moving. And so are there some things that we can learn from the early disciples, or we can learn from the first few books of chapters in Acts about dealing with change, about dealing with chaos? I think we can. So I want to talk about it coming up in the month of May and talk about thriving in times of chaos. And one of the first things that really just stood out to me that really helped them to deal with change is they were obedient. They were obedient. They were obedient to the commands of Jesus. He said, what did he say to them? Anybody? What was the command that he gave them there in Acts 1? Go to Jerusalem and wait there for the promise of the Father. And so they ended up with 120 there in the upper room. But they were obedient. They were obedient to his command. Now let me ask you, you ever thought about this? If they would have went to some other city, what would have happened? I don't know. I don't think what ended up happening on the day of Pentecost would have happened. I mean, they would have been disobedient. There's blessings in obedience. There's blessings in following God. And there, now there's two types of obedience. There's obedience to His Word, His written Word, the Bible, the Scriptures. And then there's obedience to the Holy Spirit. Jesus gave them a command, and they were obedient. Now, you know, I want to talk about this for a minute, but this is not rocket science. Rocket science is complicated. This is not rocket science. Isaiah 1, verse 19 said this, "If you are willing," everybody say willing,
willing.
"And obedient," say obedient,
"obedient,
you shall eat the good of the land." Now, eating the good of the land, that's a positive, right? That's a good thing. That's a blessing. Verse 20, "But if you refuse and rebel," meaning do your own thing, "you shall be devoured by the sword." I think that's not good. "For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land." Now, willingness, the dictionary says, is the quality or state of being prepared to do something. It's a readiness. So you're ready. You're willing. You're ready to do what God asks you to do. You're looking to Him. You're listening. Ready to hear the order. Waiting to hear the order. Now, obedience is compliance with an order, request, or law, or submission to another's authority. Obedience is carrying out the order. So you've got to be willing in order to look to God. When you look to His Word, you listen to the Holy Spirit, there's a willingness, ready to respond. But then when He speaks, then there's obedience. Obedience is carrying out the order. It's carrying out the order even if you don't understand everything about what He's saying. And so we need to do both. And so we need to realize God's got a way of doing things. God's got a way for us to go. God's got a plan for our lives. Now, how many here know, I don't have to raise your hand, how many know that a lot of times our plans come to nothing? Our plans, a lot of wasted time. Our plans, a lot of heartache. And so many times what we wanted to do is bring our plans to God the way we want to do it and give it to Him to have Him bless it. I recommend today that get to know Him, listen to Him, look to Him, and get the plan from Him. And if you get God's plan and you're obedient to that plan, that plan's going to be blessed. If you want to thrive in times of chaos, we need to align ourselves with heaven. That's what I feel like what's happening, like in the church right now. That's what I feel like what's happening with a lot of people, is we're aligning ourselves with heaven. And the more aligned you are to the Word and to the voice of the Holy Spirit, the more of His goodness can be manifested in you and through you. Now, we all can get excited about it being manifested to us, but this life is not about just us. It's about others in our world. We are blessed to be a blessing. What does it say in Malachi about the tither? About being obedient in our tithes and offerings? It says the windows of heaven will be opened and pour out a blessing we don't have room enough to receive, to contain. What's happening there? You're aligning yourself in your finances with heaven. And when you do that, blessings flow. Well, it's the same way in our lives. And so I just want to encourage you in this time, because what the enemy's trying to do with chaos is to get you off your game, get you confused, get you just distracted, get you off your routine. And when you do that, mistakes happen. Get your emotions high. And that's not what we need to be doing. We need to be focused more than ever on God, on His plan. We need to be willing. We need to be listening. And do all we can to align our lives with His plan for us. Now, we've been doing some discovery studies on Wednesday night. And what a discovery study is you'll take a passage of Scripture and you'll be in a group of, you know, two or three or four, whatever the number is. And we'll have this passage of Scripture and we'll read through it together. We'll tell the story of what we just read best we can. And then we'll ask each other some questions and go around in the group and answer those questions. One of the first question is, where is God in all of this passage? Next question is, where is man in this passage? And then it gets to this other question is, how can we obey this Scripture? And it's been amazing as we've been going through these discovery studies how much we're not obedient. How much we don't really pay attention to what we're reading and hearing. We can hear a great message or even read something and study something and kind of just walk off and not change us at all. Why is that? It's because we're just collecting knowledge. And I think the church, you know, in my opinion, one of the problems that we're having in North America especially is a lot of our churches are knowledge-based. It's about collecting knowledge and getting more knowledge and learning more about this chapter and you know, this book and that's all good. I mean, you know, knowledge is power. But the key here, though, is obedience. The Bible says that knowledge puffs up. If you don't act upon the knowledge, then it's going to weigh you down. It's actually going to hold you back. It's actually going to bring confusion. And so the discovery studies are helping us, and it's something, and we're doing this on purpose because we want this to be an obedience-based church. I want to walk in obedience, and so it's not quantity, and thank God for Bible reading programs. I do that. I mean, I'm all for that. But it's not just quantity of what we're reading, it's quality. And we need to learn to respond to God and respond to the Word. What can we do? That's where the power is. The power is in the action. What can we do today to act on what the Lord is saying to us? Because as we do that, blessings flow. You're aligning yourself. You're being obedient. Now, I can give you a whole lot of scriptures. I'll just give you a few. But let me ask you this question before I do that. If let's just say, if the North American church, if we are in decline, not thriving, if we are in decline, is the problem on God's end? Is it on God's end? Then where would the problem be? Now, we can blame the leaders, and we probably should. But it's the body of Christ. The body of Christ is the problem. Not listening. I mean, God's speaking, right? He's speaking. But we're not listening. And so we're in a time of change. We need to be listening. And I know change is uncomfortable. I mean, who enjoys change? Raise your hand now. Well, I see that hand. I need to have you guys up here. Give them a microphone. But that leaves the rest of us probably don't like change, uncomfortable with change. Now look at Mark 4. Now, Mark 4 is the parable of the sower, and it talks about four different types of soil. But there's one soil that bears 30, 60, 100-fold. Let's read about it. Mark 4, verse 20. I'll read it from the Amplified. And those sown, it's talking about, you know, God's word, planting the seed of God's word. And those sown on the good, well-adapted soil are the ones who hear the word and receive and accept and welcome it and bear fruit. Meaning they do something with what they hear. They welcome it, they bear fruit, some 30 times as much as was sown, some 60 times as much, and some even 100 times as much. I don't know about you, but that's what I want. I want 30, 60, 100. I mean, I want one-fold. How about two-fold? Before we jump to 30, 60, and 100. But I want to see the increase that God has for us. He wants us to thrive. He wants us to flourish, no matter what the conditions are, no matter what's happening. But we've got a part to play, and He's doing His part, and He is doing His part well. Mark 4, verse 23. If any man has ears, and it's not just talking about these ears, ears in your heart. If any man has ears, let him be listening and let him perceive and comprehend. And he said to them, be careful what you are hearing. Be careful what you're hearing. Not all that you're hearing is producing fruit. If the word produces good things, then the lies of the enemy and his things that he's saying, it'll produce killing, stealing, and destroying. Be careful what you are hearing. The measure of thought and study you give to the whole, to the truth you hear, will be the measure of virtue and knowledge that comes back to you, and more besides will be given to you who hear. For to him who has will more be given, and from him who has nothing, even what he has will be taken away by force. Ouch. So if we want to thrive in times of chaos, we've got to be listening. We've got to be looking to God on purpose. We need to be spending time in His Word, spending time in prayer. But, you know, as Proverbs says, inclining our ear. That's intentional. That's on your part. That's where the willingness comes in. You've got to be willing. Are we listening? Are we listening with the intent to obey? Or are we just accumulating more knowledge? Amen. All right, second point here today. The need for other strong believers in our lives. We have to have strong believers. We have to have fellowship. We have to have people in our lives that are going for the things of God. Do you have those kind of folks? Let's look at Acts 1, verse 12. Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey. And when they had entered, they went up into the upper room where they were staying. It talks about all the different disciples. Verse 14. These all continued with one accord, and there were, 120 in the upper room. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. In times of great change, we need more community. We don't need less community. We need to be able to see each other. We need to be able to share our hearts with one another. We need to be able to share our testimonies. We need to pray together. We need to worship together. We need to be generous with each other. We need to serve each other. And you've got to fight that urge to withdraw. Because the urge to withdraw is exactly what the enemy wants. He knows the power of community. He knows the power of fellowship. He knows the power of coming together. And he knows if we come together, we're going to do damage to his kingdom. So he is doing everything he can to get you out of church, to get you out of fellowship with your friends, out of fellowship in your marriage. And he's trying to cause division. And you have to recognize that. That's part of his plan right now. And so I just really, we say this all the time. When you least, and I'm not just talking about Good News Church, whatever your church is. I know we have some guests here. But when you least feel like going to church, that's the day you need to go. Not when you're feeling your best. That's the day you need to go out and have some fun. Don't tell anybody I said that, but anyway. When you least feel like going is the day you need to be there. Fight that urge to withdraw from people. It's in community that God has healing. It's in community that God has encouragement. The Bible says that iron sharpens iron. I can come in here and just see somebody and it'll encourage me. Just see them. But then, many times I've been discouraged and start talking to somebody and they just bring courage by the words that they say, either a scripture or a testimony. Look what God's doing. Oh, I've been praying for you. We need each other. Turn to your neighbor and say, we need you. I need you. Oh, it doesn't matter if I show up. Who's going to notice? It matters. You're bringing your supply. It's not going to be the same without you. You are valuable and precious to God. You are significant. Your presence matters. But we need each other. So I order you in the name of Jesus, don't withdraw. Don't draw back. This is a time in this season of chaos. We need each other. We need community. I love Philippians 2, verse 1. I'm reading for the message. You got some scriptures you just go back to all the time. I mean, these are awesome. Philippians 2, verse 1. If you've gotten anything at all out of following Christ, if his love has made any difference in your life, if being in a community of the Spirit means anything to you, if you have a heart, do you have a heart? If you have a heart, see, do I have a heart? If you have a heart, if you care, then do me a favor. Agree with each other. Love each other. And I love this. Be deep-spirited friends. Be deep-spirited friends. I mean, it's not friends based around a football team or friends based around a restaurant or friends based around a hobby. I mean, those are good things. Or a neighborhood, or political party, or all those different things. No, it's friends with a cause, friends based on the Word, friends based on Jesus, friends, people that are going for the things of God, deep-spirited friends. Every one of us needs those people in our lives. And I would recommend have people in your life that are stronger than you, that challenge you. To not settle for mediocrity or not settle for just getting by, but are challenging you to be better, to be the best you can. Do you got friends like that? I hope you do. In this year of significance, I hope this is a year you have people that sharpen you, that challenge you, that motivate you, encourage you. Be deep-spirited friends. That's my prayer for every one of us, to have those kind of people in our lives. And I hope they're here at Good News. Don't push your way to the front. Don't sweet talk your way to the top. Put yourself aside and help others get ahead. Don't be obsessed with getting your own advantage. Forget yourself long enough to lend a helping hand. This is one of these scriptures that I pray for Good News Church, that we be this kind of church. It's not easy. We've got people from all kind of backgrounds. It's a challenge. One of the part of our vision is we see a community of believers strongly connected to God and to each other. Then there's other parts about the vision. And I tell you what, over the years, we're at year, was it 24? 24 years. Can you believe it? 24 years. And that's been one of the most challenging part is to have people that are strongly connected to God and to each other. I mean, they go hand in hand. Why? Because the enemy, he fights it. He fights us coming together. He doesn't want us to be connected. He doesn't want us to get to know each other. He wants us to be offended. He wants us to be divided. A house divided cannot stand. A house divided cannot flourish, cannot thrive. That's why in our marriages, he wants to divide us. Well, we say no to that. We speak unity and harmony and love and caring and grace in our homes, in our families. Not letting the devil come into our house. Now, I love this in Hebrews 10. And I'm not saying if you're here today and you don't attend a church to come to Good News, this may or may not be your church. But find a church. Find a church family. Find a place where you can call home. We need that. You need that community. And the writer of Hebrews tells us that. Hebrews 10, verse 24. Now listen. Let us consider and give an attentive, continuous care to watching over one another. Not just family. Blood family. Watching over one another. Studying. Look into the Word. Studying how we may stir up, stimulate, and incite to love and helpful deeds and noble activities. We're sharpening each other. We're encouraging each other. We're bringing out the best in each other. We're for each other. Am I just dreaming here?
No.
Stimulate and incite to love and helpful deeds and noble activities. Not forsaking or neglecting to assemble together. Coming together. Not withdrawing, coming together. Not forsaking or neglecting to assemble together as believers, as is the habit of some. Don't get in that habit. I know you're here today, but don't get in that habit of some people. But admonishing, warning, urging, encouraging one another, and all the more faithfully as you see the day approaching. Talking about the coming of the Lord. I mean, if you can't see that we're living in the last days, I don't know the time or the season of Jesus is coming, but it's pretty crazy. Living in the last days. In Timothy it says, living in perilous times, and it lists all the things. I mean, you ought to go read that. 2 Timothy chapter 3, starting in verse 1. All the things that it says that are happening. And you're seeing it happen right before us. Living in perilous times, living in the last days. And as the closer we get to the coming of Jesus, and so I just got this word for you. Now, I'm not going to prophesy more chaos in your life, but it's not going to get any easier, people. How many know election 2020 is coming? So that's what I'm preparing you for right now. That last election, 2016, we almost had division in the church. People fighting each other and all kind of things happening. And hey, we're not having that here.
That's right.
That's not who we are.
That's right.
Fighting each other on Facebook and getting mad at each other and all that. That's not who you are. You're better than that.
Right.
I thought we were for each other. Now we can have different political beliefs. Why can't we all just get along? Well, it's because the enemy is stirring things up. And because of social media and the news media and other things, I'm not blaming them for everything because we're the ones that partake of it. But all of that is just, it breeds division. And people have a voice to express things they didn't have back in my day. And then it's, you read these things, and they're saying all these things, and they won't even, a lot of them won't even put their real name there. They have some kind of made-up name. I've read some kind of discussions. I mean, they are just, Frank, they're just cussing each other out, using words I don't even know what they are. I'm learning new cuss words. I mean, and I'm not saying it's bordering. It is. It's hate. Now hate... Hate does not come from God. Hatred, now we hate sin, but we don't hate people. That's not godly. But what's the purpose? Division. What is division? Two visions. So we have to fight for unity. We have to fight for each other. We have to be obedient. And we, unfortunately, here at Good News Church, you've got a higher standard. And so, coming into 2020, that election, I'm just going to go ahead and just declare peace here. Sloppy agape, just everywhere. I'm just declaring, I'm getting this ready. No one's leaving the church. Okay, where was I? Admonishing, warning, urging, and encouraging one another. All the more faithfully as you see the day approaching. Now, I'm in this series, I'm going to get into some real practical things. This is kind of more spiritual. There's some practical things I want to get into this in dealing with change and thriving in times of chaos. But this will lay the foundation. This will get us going. Let's stand, everybody. Who's been going through a lot of change? Thank you, Lord. You need prayer? Those of you, just raise your hand. If you want prayer, come on down here. Going through a lot of change. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Oh, thank you, Lord. Praise God. Oh, my goodness. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Let's just give him praise. Thank you, Lord. I don't know how you've been feeling today. How are you doing? Maybe all those feelings I shared earlier, you're going through that. I don't know how you're handling things. Hopefully during this month we can help. But even today, I believe there's help for you today. Spirit of God is here. I believe even right now, strengthening is happening. Courage. You sense His love and His presence. His goodness. Let it just flow, Father, in this place right now in the name of Jesus. You know their hearts. You know what they're going through. Let them know, Father, today they're not alone. Let them know, Father, that you're with them. You'll never leave them nor forsake them. Let them know, Father, that the Holy Spirit's going to bring empowerment to help walk this thing out, to walk it out successfully, and to be encouraged that there's hope here today. Oh, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.